If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the divine light of the One Source. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is, You Are the Light. But are you turned on? You are the light. But are you turned on? So let's begin with an attunement, as we usually do. Take a deep breath. And just see yourself as a continuum of pure divine awareness, which we also know as the light, as it spills forth from the very, very heart, mind, source of the Creator itself. See yourself as a pure conduit for that source light of divine awareness and intelligence that is sourcing through your physical body like a divine current of electricity that is illumining your body, much like electricity illumines a light bulb. And just see your whole body radiating divine source light. See it pushing to the periphery and dissolving any dark clouds, which would signify places where you have bought into limitation, lack, fear, or any negative state of consciousness. Just see them dissolve in that limitless light, which is your true divine nature and self. Take another deep breath. And just bring that light again down to the top of your head and see it illumine your nervous system, very gently clearing, cleansing, and releasing any blocks that no longer serve you, that which would be God's divine gifting to you tonight could be given to you according to your ability and willingness to receive at this time, so that all things have that perfection that always indicates the divine alignment in our lives. And let's relax into this time together with the intention that our little willingness offered to the divine spirit is met with the appropriate response, always, so that that next step, that next revelation, that next clearing of our understanding can just gracefully alight within our heart, our minds, and our outer manifestation in our physical lives. And we just acknowledge the masters, angels, teachers, guides, benefactors, the ones who stand with us in a fellowship of spirit that support us whether we see them or not. If you look in the inner vision with the intention to know who stands with you, you'll find that a series of names and forms will parade through your mind. No, you're not imagining that. that is actually the response to your inquiry being met. Learn to trust those insights, because whenever you ask from a place of pure desire to know, you will have an answer. You will have a response. And it will seem like your own thoughts or your own imagination. But just lay those doubts aside and assume that you're really having your request responded to. So you all know who lights your heart and sits on the throne of your life. And that would be your chosen image, which represents to you your God connection. And it's for you to determine who that is, because the light is one. The divine source is one. But everyone who is connected into that on a conscious level becomes a pure conduit of that source light, and becomes a source of light to you when you have pure faith in that. So it is your faith that gives visual and tangible manifestation into form. It's always the faith that activates the form manifestation when we're dealing with spiritual things. So it's important that you have a sense of personal connection into that limitless light of which you are a conduit, which you are sourcing and being sourced through. You give the name, you give the form definition in alignment with your faith, and thus you have a very solid sense of connection with what otherwise would seem like a very, very random field of limitless potentiality. So the mind, because we have a mind at this level, always needs to be focused and directed and ignited by the intention. And that is what we're seeking to do each time we work together in this field of our consciousness and the discovery and actualization of our own individual mastery. So, you are the light. Are you aware of that? I mean, really aware, to where you always identify yourself with that. Sai Baba has given a very simple meditation visualization, which you can do at your own leisure, because you want to take time doing this and your focus. We want you to stay in your body right now and be present with us. But when you have a chance, gaze at a candle flame, preferably one that's steady and not flickering, until you can close your eyes and clearly see the image of the candle flame in your third eye. And from there, see it spread its illumination to illumine your entire mind. See it send rays down into your heart. See the heart open like a beautiful rose or a lotus. And see the light filling your heart. And then bring the light throughout your entire body until your whole body is filled with light, until the light becomes your sense of inner presence and beingness. And that's it. Just keep expanding that light. Because in highest truth, your sense of being is going to graduate from being a limited human being to being the all-pervasive spaciousness of divine awareness itself. You're going to find yourself everywhere. as the mind is transcended to the transcendental state that we call spiritual freedom, illumination. You know, illumination is when the mind has become totally identified as the limitless light of God awareness itself. So that's what we're focusing our attention on. The awareness that the light is within you, and you keep expanding that light until you come to the point that you realize, and it is a realization, I am the light. And another way of thinking of the light has been given by John Roger, and that light is an acronym for living in God's holy thoughts. And when you realize that you, as an individual manifestation of God's mind, are a divine idea in the mind of God, you are a thought of belovedness, of endearment within the heart mind of God. That is why you're called the beloved. You are so beloved by all that exists throughout the countless universes. You are the beloved of God. And that sense of your own belovedness will, when you truly embrace of it, cause your whole being to ignite into a flame of love. You will burn like a candle of adoration before the all that is. And your shed glory will have no limit. In fact, Sai Baba has said that the light of one soul has enough power to illumine the universes for eternity. I can't even wrap my mind around that. But I think he's saying that you have the power, that we have the power of the unlimited God source itself, dwelling in us as us. So, our true divine self is the very light of creative source. The physical body could be likened to a light bulb, the mind to the switch. You turn the switch to God, and the light turns on. You turn the switch towards the ego, and the light goes out. Not totally. There's enough light to keep you sentient and alive, but you just don't have the light of awareness. You have the light of thought, but not the light of awareness. To have the light of awareness, you have to go beyond thought, to that place within the mind where God dwells. Let's go there right now. You know how to do it. Take a deep breath. Close your eyes and go inside your mind to God. That's it. It's that place where thought stops and you're still. Let's do it again. Deep breath. And go into the place in your mind where God is. You'll find that there's always a place where you're absolutely still and at peace. And that's the God place in your mind. No matter how agitated the outer world may cause the outer mind to reflect in worries or any form of agitation, these are all like surface ripples. You can find that still point in your mind. Always. Always. train yourself to go there regularly. Course of Miracles has a lesson where it says, I will be still an instant and go home. So every now and then throughout your day, take a deep breath and be still an instant and return home to that God place in your mind. Now be aware that that God place also is the birth of all truly bright ideas, happy thoughts, selfless thoughts, loving thoughts, pure thoughts, inspirational thoughts, revelations, knowingness, spacious awareness. That's all contained in your mind. You don't have to do anything but go there. Maybe you didn't know you could just go there. You don't have to meditate or do particular spiritual practices. It's enough to have a strong intention and just go there. Now you know where to look to find God in your mind. Don't follow the thoughts. Go to the still place. God is experienced always as a sense of relief. Relief from the sense of having to think, figure things out, do stuff, perform. You know, it's where you are simply the beloved, basking in the love that is. Now, there's another place you can find God. That's maybe more familiar to you. And that's within your heart. God dwells in your heart. As it says in the Vedas, a thumb-sized flame in the very center of the Anahata chakra, the heart, the spiritual heart. So when you visualize that candle flame, you can just see it as the flame itself, which would be called the Atma Jyoti, or the light of the Atma. Or, if you're very, very fond of a particular form of God, you can visualize the form inside that flame. And you can experiment, try it both ways, and see what works for you best. So, in this process, just take a deep breath and go to God within the center of your heart. It's called the jewel in the center of the lotus. The heart flame. So many beautiful images that you can utilize. But it's that place, I'm in it right now, and I feel like a thrill that's going through my whole being. Of course, I'm practiced a bit in it, okay? But what I'm telling you is that you get an ecstatic feeling when you touch to the God place in your heart. It's just almost overwhelming. In fact, if you're new at this, you may find tears come up. Sometimes when you see or read something that really touches your heart, you'll find that you begin to weep. That's when you've touched to that God place in your heart. Now, the God place in your heart, you won't be aware of it if you have any kind of issue with anybody. If you're angry, upset, have a grievance against someone, have judged someone, if you need to do your forgiveness, before you experience this, then that's necessary. You know, if you find yourself blocked, to where you don't have access to that sense of the beloved in your heart, that thrill of connecting, then look and see who you may have judged. And forgive yourself for forgetting that you are divine. And so is everyone else. That's a simple forgiveness. Very simple. I forgive myself for forgetting that I'm divine. And so is, and then you can name that person or that situation. And see if your heart opens. And if not, you may have to be more specific. But whenever you find that you're not fully turned on to the bliss of God in your heart, to the stillness and peace of God in your mind, it's generally because you have issued forth an attitude of againstness towards someone or something. And that effectively closes the door. Jesus said it like this, whatsoever you do to the least, little one, you have done to me. And he's speaking as the divine light itself. So keep your heart and your mind filled with God and leave all the judging out of the equation, because you simply don't have enough information or a broad enough viewpoint to make any kind of a valid judgment about yourself or anyone else. So when you are connected to Creative Source, you serve as a conduit for that light of Creative Source to reach Earth. And as Jesus taught, you are the light of the world. In fact, the human form is the only means, get this, the only means by which the pure light of Creative Source can directly manifest upon Earth. So your human body is meant to radiate divine light and to bring the warmth of divine love and illumination into this world. That's your true purpose and calling. That's why you're here. That's why you're listening to this seminar. You are to be the light and love of divine source to your family, to your spouse, to your work companions, to the world in which you exert your particular influence. In fact, God's light is the means by which you see. True vision is the result of inner attunement and actually has nothing to do with the physical eyes per se. You see inside your mind. And every cell in your body has the ability to see. In fact, many of these special children who've been born coming into the planet since 84 or so, many of the millennials, have been born with ability to see out of different parts of their body, or when they're totally blindfolded or physically blind. And they don't just see like a psychic where they tune in. They actually move into the light of awareness itself, so that they can not only see a photograph or read an article, but they can also see the environment in which that photograph was taken or that article was written, and the state of mind of that person that took the photograph and the people in the photograph and the circumstances around the article. You know, that's a lot more than just psychic vision. That's divine seership. That's where the God in you is actually seeing through its own light, which is resident in each cell. So the Course of Miracles has a wonderful lesson. God is the light in which I see. God is the light in which I see, or by which I see. So again, we're awakening to light in a very different way than we've ever thought of it before. So every cell in your body radiates the light of divine omniscience. That is why when your mind is fully illumined and that light is fully turned on, you are called an illumined one. And illumination is endless. It's not just, you know, you attain illumination and that's it. The first illumination is to dissolve the ego mind, which is the belief in separation from God. The first illumination is to dissolve the fog bank and the dark clouds of ego identification. And the personal self then expands to the transpersonal, the impersonal, and eventually the universal. So it keeps expanding. So illumination is just another term for being connected and turned on. So this illumination is not meant for just a few mystics and seers and saints. This is the natural state of everyone. And this is the time, according to the Mayans, we've heard so much about the Mayans, but we've heard a little about the new cycle that we're moving into and are in right now, which is a cycle in which we've transcended history, transcended time, transcended the old paradigm, and are in the state of enlightenment. This is what is part of the new paradigm, is that we all realize that we are the light. We move into the unified field of the light, the limitless light. So illumination is the natural state of the mind centered in truth. The mind identified with the light of creative source is illumined. So how do you know if you are turned on? Well, that's simple. You see clearly. Bottom line, you see clearly. You are aware of the divine reality, and that is what holds your focus of attention. You'll go about fulfilling your duties in life, but you will maintain that spiritual awareness, that knowing that you are divine and that you are the light. That's something you'll never lose sight of once you have really, really had a genuine experience of illumination. So you may go through the same ups and downs of life as anyone else, but you're also aware that these are simply the nature of the material realm. And your sense of identity will be as the light. And as you identify with the light, this keeps your frequency and your awareness beyond the range of despair and worry and fretting and all the things that people put themselves through unnecessarily because they're listening to the thoughts of the ego mind, instead of connecting with the awareness of the light. So one ray of light is enough to break the spell of darkness. And that one source of all light is divine mind, or creative intelligence. And because our mind is part of that divine mind and that creative intelligence, we have direct access to divine awareness, direct access to divine revelation, and direct access to illumination. and the only block to our fully functioning in divine awareness at all times are the conditioned beliefs that we're not. You know, if I would go into a room and ask for a show of hands, how many of you are self-realized? And let's assume that's an audience of light workers and yogis and meditators. I'll just bet practically no one, if anyone at all, would raise their hands. Why is that? Because I think primarily we think it's a form of humility, and it's false humility, to cop to the fact we are fallible, human, have faults, you know, whatever. But how many people can just quietly own their own divinity, you know, without self-consciousness or having to apologize for it? You know, nobody apologizes for telling you what a sinner they are. It's almost like they wear it as a badge of honor in some places. Oh, I was a fallen, miserable sinner, and so forth and so on. But how many people can quietly say, yes, I'm self-realized. Yes, I'm aware I am the light. Yes, I am a pure conduit of the divine. The thing of it is, when you are that, you don't really have to talk about it. It's self-evident. But on the other hand, if you're asked directly, there should be neither shame nor hesitation if that's so for you. And it will be so for you if you take a few minutes to really look at who is the I that is listening right now? Who is the I that's listening? That's you. That's the awareness. The listener is the awareness. The observer is the awareness. The one who thinks it's the doer, now that's another thing. Unless you really know you're a conduit through which the one is acting, usually the one who gets the credit for the doing is the ego. But if you ask yourself, Baba said that it only takes about 11 minutes. Did he say minutes or seconds? I think he said minutes. It only takes 11 minutes of pure 100% focus with a desire to know who am I, that you can realize the self. But you know how hard it is to keep your mind focused without it wandering and getting distracted for 11 minutes? I mean, try it. Try it sometime. Because we did. As soon as he said that, of course, we all tried. But it's not so easy. The mind is so easily drawn into the world and distracted. But if you keep asking yourself, who am I? Beyond my thoughts, which constantly change, like the weather vane and my opinions, who am I? Who am I behind and beyond the storm of emotions that arise and thunder and fury and then dissolve? Who am I beyond the emotions? This body that keeps changing every year, it looks different. In fact, it looks different every day, but we don't actually record the differences unless we look at them in cycles of time. For example, where is the you that was the baby? Or the teenager? Or the ovum and sperm that became you as a fetus? Where is the young person you were if you're older? And when you drop the body, where are you? Who are you beyond the body? Who were you before you were born this time? Before you wore this body, this name, this gender, this concept of self? Who were you? Yes. According to all of the God-realized masters, you are pure divine awareness itself. Immortal existence itself. All-pervasive bliss itself. Ever-expanding, spacious beingness. Unlimited. Undefined, unless you wish to define yourself. The ascended masters and perfected beings can step in and out of time, in and out of form and manifestation at will. They can appear and disappear and assume any guise at any time. Sai Baba said that some beings just exist as currents of energy. Others focus their attention more in the worlds of form. There's some body or vehicle of manifestation at each dimensional level. And today we see the orbs, which are obviously the forms of spiritual beings. In fact, one of the recent manifestations, which was quite riveting, was that orbs began to manifest from the orb form into humanoid forms and were photographed. So you see, the orbs are appearing in now to our dimension to let us know that we share life on many levels with myriads of beings. And just because we're not walking on the physical earth in a human body doesn't mean we don't have forms and existence and manifestation on other planes of existence. What has once been created can never cease to be. It has eternal life. Only the form changes to suit the dimension or the intention of that being. So the orbs are now, in some cases, to some people, beginning now to manifest as a humanoid shape. Could this be the first stepping into this dimension of some of the masters who would suddenly appear as an orb and then as a humanoid shape and then step into this time-space continuum in their Maya Virupa? Their light bodies, Nuri Swaroops. I think so. That's my assessment of it anyway. Because there is a gentle introduction now into life beyond the visible, tangible, tiny little bit of the electromagnetic spectrum that we have visibility in, that we can see. We only see a portion right now, and that's being increased, but gradually, so we don't freak out. So this is one of the wonderful things that we are seeing now, the crop circles, the orbs, the rays of light, the colored lights and rays, and the Merkabas, the beautiful ships of light, which are actually the extension of individual light bodies that take these forms that look like UFO clouds they're actually the light body of highly advanced beings. So these are wonderful things that we are co-participating in this age of enlightenment. This wonderful age of enlightenment. So the only block to our fully functioning and divine awareness at all times is the conditioning
of the mind. And people more commonly identify with their human limitations than their divine awareness. In fact, it's become part of the social identity that the world fosters and fortifies, and that we've bought into without seriously questioning its validity. But everyone who has manifested higher awareness and genuine illumination has had to transcend all of the conventional beliefs and realize the truth directly. So how do you connect with the divine source light? How can you tell when you are connected? Well, you'll feel connected, which feels great. You'll feel energized, enthusiastic, up, positive, flowing, creative, centered, and clear. You can be sitting quietly in your room, absolutely silent, and experience yourself everywhere. You can revel in your own belovedness, your own blissful essence. You can drink of your own divine nectarine sense of self and be in everyone at the same time. That's God consciousness. So illumination is simply the result of the mind being fully dissolved in the pure light of your truth. So one of the things you could do is make it a part of your spiritual toolkit to note down all the ways that you can raise your vibrations, which is to say, increase your light awareness, which is also to increase your sense of liveliness and joy. Whatever raises your level of joy is also increasing your light, and hence your rate of vibration. Link then those observations to the things that you do every day, to specific thoughts that you find yourself habitually hosting, to the attitudes you keep entertaining, to the physical lifestyle choices and habits, many of them unconscious and unnecessarily contributing a thing to your light awareness. Begin to weed them out. Pay attention to the things you read and watch and focus upon and think and speak about. Research your inner and outer life and gather data on the results. Then you decide if your lifestyle choices are keeping your light turned on or unnecessarily dimming it, keeping it at a very low level. First of all, one must, I believe, want something more from life than simply pursuing the fleeting pleasures of that human life offers. Everything here is impermanent, temporary, changing, and will leave your life. I don't care what it is, it has only a small time and cycle that you will have it in your life. That's relationships, youth, good looks, good health, whatever it is, it's a time and a season, and then the inevitable change comes. And that's why there's so much fear in the human state of identification, because the human state is one of attachment to things which by their very nature are going to leave your life. And this causes intense suffering in people who are not yet aware. So you need that genuine hunger to go deeper into knowing who you are and what your purpose is. Otherwise, you won't have the driving intensity required to transcend the vagaries of the mind. The good news is that your happiness and your divine function are one and the same. And that, again, is also a lesson in the Course in Miracles. My happiness and my divine function are one. And a happy outcome to all things is assured. Well, not to the human ego, for sure. But when you wake up, a happy ending is all you're aware of. So it's worth everything if you're truly suffering, and who isn't if they're identified with their body in this world and their role in the world? Of course you're going to suffer. Kind of like aversion therapy down here. The good news is that when you will awaken to unlimited joy and life and health and love and vitality and your own everlasting creative expansiveness. It's not a static life. It's going to be a tremendously vital life in which you're a co-creator God. How cool could that be? So the mind conditioned by many lifetimes of identifying with physical bodies and mental states and emotional experiences and separate existence, that mind needs to be trained to focus upon your divine nature. It needs to be brought back again and again to I am the light. I am a pure conduit of the divine source. I am one with God. I am God. I am divine. My nature is indistinguishable from that of God. I am in God like air is in the atmosphere, like water is in the ocean, like sweetness that is in the honey. I am one with God. That's what we need to train our mind to focus on. And we need to keep chanting that to ourselves instead of, oh, I'm only a human. Get over it. So, once the mind is given the proper direction and trained to hold to that higher focus, the rest of one's life comes into divine order quite naturally, just like the freight cars will follow the train engine. So the mind is either being divinely influenced by the soul or by the lower nature or ego. And your conscious self is much like the conductor setting the direction. So we all have a 24/7 allotment of time each week. But how we utilize that time is what determines if we are radiating the light of our soul or not. That's the bugbear, isn't it? So to increase your own awareness of light, to where the light is within you. You take that deep breath, and you find that light, which is God within your mind, which is that point of stillness and peace. And then you take that breath, and you find God within your heart. It's that place that thrills with love and sense of expansive embracement. So the first place to look is within yourself. But if your light is too clouded over by the ego doubts and fears and confusions, you'll need to go where you can be with one or more people who are really turned on and radiating their source connection. I think if you think for a few moments, you will be able to identify people in your life that you would just know that they're ones that are connected. They're radiating, they're smiling, they're full of joy, they're turned on, and you always feel better after you've been in their presence. That's why they're connected. But the problem is, very often you'll go to these people and you'll draw from their well, but you don't take the time to learn how to draw from your own wellspring of blessedness. Many people do that around teachers and gurus. They depend upon being with the master, but they don't take the time to master themselves and to feed themselves. And that's why sometimes you'll see people following a master or teacher for many, many years, but they still aren't turned on. They don't know how to stay turned on. They still fall prey to negative states and worries and fears and depression and whatever. You need to challenge those states of consciousness, not just pony after every thought that floats through your mind. You need to take that mind and direct it. One of the easiest ways to focus and direct your mind is to replace idle thinking, which doesn't do anyone any good. Focus your mind on a mantra. Initially, if you're upset or whatever, you can just focus on your breath to quiet yourself down, and then replace thinking with a mantra. Soham is a very good one because it balances the inner and outer nature and helps you stay connected and grounded at the same time. Soham is a Sanskrit word which simply means I am. You can use I am if you like also, but soham I think is better because then again your mind isn't going to do weirdness with it. And you can use again any two-syllable mantra or name of God that you like. But soham is excellent. You can use rosary beads or 108 beaded japamala to further focus your mind. While you develop the habit of chanting, you might want to start it maybe as part of your preparation to meditate. You could do 108 repetitions of that mantra and then go into meditation. Or just before you go to bed at night, you can chant on your japamala, which is what I do each night. And then my mind just goes into the names of God, and I have wonderful sleep. So you can experiment, see what works with you. But begin to replace worry with mantra. You'll find that not only does the mantra consume those negative energies around worry and situations that you're concerned about, it eats up the negativity like little Pac-Man. Just visualize little Pac-Man going around eating up all your worry and fear and confusion and upset. Surrender it to the name of God. Sai Baba said that the repetition of the name of God will dissolve mountains of karma, mountains of sin. So use that to clear yourself, cleanse yourself, and to resolve situations that normally would cause you mental agitation. Train yourself to go to the name as your resource, as your medicine, as your place of peace and refuge when you have things that disturb your mind. Next, move your body. Every day, do some stretching or yoga or tai chi or modern dance or something. Just move what can move. Or just stand in place with your knees bent a little bit at shoulder width and jiggle. But keep your energies moving, flowing, grounded. Walk in the fresh air to clear your aura and recharge. And you can sing, chant, or tone. You can play gongs, Tibetan bowls, or crystal bowls. All of these will help you to clean, clear, and align your energies. Something I started doing, which I think would be a really easy way for anyone to connect to source energy, is I stand every day in my bare feet out on the grass. And I close my eyes and I face the sun. And as I close my eyes and look inside my inner vision, I can actually see the golden sparks of prana that is coming from the sun and filling my aura with vitality and health and life, recharging me. And that is a good way to attune to the cosmic Christ, to the solar logos, to the great central sun systems, to your God source. You know, the sun has been honored for, goodness, forever, since man roamed the planets. The sun has been a source of a symbol for God. So again, use what you have in your environment to enhance your enlightenment, to enhance your sense of awareness that you are the light. And if you have to go to work each day, then when you get out of bed in the morning, take the blessing of your guru, your Satguru, upon your head. I always bow before Sai Baba and my teachers, and I feel their hands of blessing upon my head. And I touch their feet in reverence, and I offer my day to them, asking that everything that moves through my heart, mind, body, soul, and expression in some way contribute to the happiness, the spirituality, and the upliftment of my fellow man. And I acknowledge that God is the sole doer of all things through my body, and I devote my day and my actions to God. That way I don't pick up the karma of the day. I don't pick up that because the day has been consigned to God and offered to God. And that's the way you can keep from creating more karma. Same thing at night. You again, you consign your spirit to God. And you go forth to love and serve and learn and do whatever it is that you do upon the inner planes at night. And that way your night is divine and your day is divine and you walk with God. You walk in the light and you are the light. So it's important to go where the light is. Go where the light is. Go where people are in a path of upliftment. Go where divinity and awakening and service and selfless compassion are the ideals that people are espousing. You all know what lits you. You all know the many choices that are before each one of us every day, that it is wise to select the best use of our time, our life focus, our life force, and what we're going to be involved with, because that becomes part of who we are. Whatever we entertain, whatever we engage, whatever we come into agreement with, we have, in a sense, taken that upon ourselves. So identify with God, identify with the light, identify with being a member on this planet that is part of the transition team, that is here to birth Earth into a new dimensional outpicturing of living love and living light. And let that be your daily engagement. And you will awaken and find one day that you simply are the light. And you know it. So let's take a deep breath and go out chanting, Anai Hu. Deep breath. And when you chant Anai Hu again, have that sense that it's not you chanting, but it's the voice of God. It is the divine spirit. It's the Bhagavad Gita. It's the living word of God speaking and chanting and singing of its love to you and through you to all creation. And so we send forth a blessing. May all the beings of all the worlds have peaceful minds, have hearts overfilling and overflowing with a sense of the divine presence. May all awaken as the beloved. And may the earth absolutely resonate in every single quark of its being with the love of God. And may we be part of that manifestation. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Good evening, and Adonai.